Welcome to College Football Roundtable, your source for college football coverage, including major storylines,
playoffs,
can't miss game previews, and picks each week. Join your hosts, Dan, Rob, and Jordan at the roundtable for a show unlike anything else. As for Football presents the College Football Roundtable.
Welcome back. Week 11 is in the books. Got a lot of teams in the top 25s that either had one score games or got taken to the woodshed. We're going to break that down a little bit further for you. And we also get to find out who is Joe's Blue Falcon of the Week. What's up, Trash Talkers? Welcome back to the College Football Roundtable. Or if you prefer, you can call it Ring Knocker Radio. Informally around here, we call it two O's and an NCO. I'm your host, Robin, Fayetteville, North Carolina. We got Dano Icabesa calling to you out of Coastal Connecticut. And Trigger Joe is calling from the home of the Big House. How are we doing, guys? What did you guys end up watching this weekend? And we'll start with Dan and then over to Joe.
Yeah, so first off, I finally remembered my ring so we can actually knock our rings this week. I've been wanting to do that for like 3 years we've been on this show, and I think this is the first time I remembered. So anyway, I was at the Army game, as you know, and I caught almost zero other football all weekend. So thanks for having me on the show. I'll just be kind of sitting here. I did try to follow Georgia, Florida via the ESPN app while we're standing up in the parking lot. So we're with some big time Georgia fans. And then I listened to about the third, fourth quarter on my drive home. You know, Georgia, they're good, but they also played a Florida quarterback from Yale, not even a scholarship guy. So that's wacky. And then caught a little bit of Tennessee, Kentucky and Navy Rice Saturday night. I was working on the Quick Takes article. Just enough to see the mid shoot it down their leg. I really thought they'd figure it out in the second half, though. Still wondering if Horvath is hurt, too. I mean, it's just they did not look good. It was wacky.
Yeah. Joe, how about you?
Well, I'm doing about as well as can be expected with the product that Michigan football is putting on the field. I'm sure the rest of the country is enjoying it, but I was entertained by a very good football game at 12 with the Nittany Lions and Ohio State. And maybe I'm seeing this game through maize and blue glasses, but that game was swung on a key incomplete pass that sure looked like a fumble, and it would have been 5 years ago. Had it been ruled a fumble, it would have set Penn State up in field goal range to start their drive. Instead, Ohio State does – now, they earned their touchdown. They went down and got it, but that was a swing in the game. And but, hey, like I said, that's the breaks, and that's college football. The game itself was a pretty good one, and Penn State always plays Ohio State tough. Yeah. So you're just going to see some quality football when you watch that game. Then I was treated to my Michigan Wolverines getting handled by Oregon for four quarters at 3:30. Luckily, the cure for Michigan football hangover was I called a perfect main card on our UFC Pick'em show.
Nice.
And I went 6-for-6. And the Detroit Lions absolutely dominated the Packers in the 4 o'clock game yesterday. So it wasn't too bad of a weekend of football for me.
Yeah, but, for sure.
That Penn State game, Ohio State game, It was a slugfest in the trenches. That there was a lot of hitting going on.
Yeah, for sure. I think that game could have gone a lot differently had it hit a later kick and at the whiteout, because there's something about Happy Valley at night with the crowd behind them that makes that game a much, much tougher prospect to win. Sure. So for me, I watched the Army game. Hey, look, we can be real now. Like, we know that the Army defense is good. You know, selfishly, I wanted a shutout, but they played pretty damn well. Watch the Buckeyes make their case, and you know, all the other crazy plays notwithstanding, that fourth and goal stop at the last 5 minutes was worth watching. I mean, and then take control, drive the ball down the middle of the field and burn out the clock. I think that's the best way to salt away a victory. Yeah, thems are the breaks, but for legitimately, you know, good goal line stand and a final drive to wrap up the game, I think that that makes it a little bit more acceptable. And then again, watch Miami like fall asleep in the first half, man. Those guys were like not paying attention to the game because it was like, what is going on here? And then out of nowhere, like a switch got flipped and they dropped. Well,
somebody snuck up behind Cam Ward with a cast iron skillet and a stainless steel spoon and boom.
Yeah, and woke him up.
Points.
Yeah, because like out of nowhere, like then he's putting up again video game numbers. I mean, there are so many other games, you know, most of them that I was peeking in on, you know, towards the later part of the evening we're all pretty doggone good. I mean, like, we're in the deep part of college football, and this is where separation really starts to happen. And speaking of separating, we don't want you to get separated from your money. So we have a realtor for you, and that is Jocelyn Bradley. If you're looking to PCS to the Fort Liberty area, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn is a veteran who spent her Army career in logistics there. She discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream homes when they're in the market, and she provides exceptional service when she's working for you. Jocelyn also has an extended network of veteran realtors who can support you if you're moving anywhere else in the country. So if you're in the market for a home, Jocelyn should be your first call. She's decided to support Astro Football this season, and she is the right person to help you get into the home of your dreams. Like I said, she has a network of connectivity all throughout the country, so you can find a veteran experienced realtor that's been doing this for a couple of years that can help you. Or if you're moving into the AO near the mothership, you can find a decent place to land. So all that being said, back over to Dano for the Service Academy stand.
So, yeah, we all watched number 18 Army beat the crap out of Air Force this week by a final score of 20-3. Great defensive game that obviously we'll break down more tomorrow. I will say, though, that running almost nothing but the fullback dive out of the shotgun, no less, for 7.2 yards per carry is impressive. And folks on the old Twitter app saying that Army looked beatable in that game, I think maybe took the wrong lesson from it. Army travels to the University of North Texas this week. That looks to be a great contest, especially if, we'll see what happens with Army's quarterback situation, but there's a little chaos there over with Navy. You know, the Mids look sluggish and then drop their second game in a row to the Rice Owls. Tough break coming out of the 5-hour rain delay and Rice's visit to locker room. I mean, I'm sure that sucked sitting there huffing each other's farts in a, you know, tiny ass visitor's locker room at Rice, no less. Blake Horvath was a blessing and a curse for the Navy football team. 10 of 21 passing for 120 yards, but he threw two picks. He also accounted for the only rushing touchdown that the Mids put up. Rice, EJ Warner, and Dean Connors seem to be finding their way together. You know, Dean Connors looked good running the ball. EJ Warner looked as good as we've seen him this season throwing the ball. Something about Warner against the Mids, man. He always seems to find that magic. And, finally, Air Force, obviously they lost at Army. They made some plays, but they really, once Army put it down in the second half, they were done. They're now 1-7. That offense is not great at all. That defense is not terrible, but it's, you know, it's okay at best. They're 7.5-point dogs this week taking on Fresno State. I don't know. Anybody think they're going to pull that one out? I mean, they're on the struggle bus there. Yeah, sure. Non-FBS service academies. Coast Guards are now 4-4. They lost to WPI 38-14. They take on SUNY Maritime at home on 4 Sports at noon this weekend. Gonna have to try to watch that one. Hopefully the Bears are not looking past the 5-2 privateers in anticipation of the Secretary's Cup. And the Merchant Marine Academy, they're still sitting at 5-2. They had a bye this past weekend. They take on Springfield at 2:30 on Flow Sports this weekend.
Thanks, Dano. Yeah, so games of the week in the American. Of course, we can always harp on the Army game because Army versus UNT is going to be there, but not to be homers, we are going to say the game of the week is going to be USF at Navy. That looks to be the best game in the American outside of Army and North Texas. USF is trending upward. They just had a massive win on the road against FAU. Navy is trying to bounce back from their second loss. Like I said, I think it goes back to the question of what's going on with Horvath. Is he actually injured, or is there something else going on in the offense that we don't see? Maybe there's an injured lineman or something like that, but the offense is just not producing as prolifically as they were earlier, and they may still be nicked up from Notre Dame. You know, that's a possibility as well, so anything can happen in college football. Other games of note around the horn, you got FAU and East Carolina. East Carolina is coming off a huge win against Temple, and they're looking to do the same against FAU and kind of put a couple wins together. FAU is trending downward. I think the jury is in on that one, folks. They are not good this season. Mm. You know, as much as they would try and blame it on the transfer portal or, like, getting, you know, new players in position and adjusting, like, again, you can use that excuse maybe game one. Like, here we are, we're 11 weeks into the season. I think it's probably on the coaches and the players. You know, coaches not putting them in position as the players not executing. That's the bottom line. You got Rice at Memphis. Oof. Good luck to Rice. I mean, they would like to be able to put two together, but I'm not so sure that's going to work out against Memphis. No. And
I think they got a shot. I don't know who cares, but I like what Rice is doing. These teams are headed in opposite directions. Well,
yeah, they are, and that's the thing. Rice is trending upward, and Memphis is trending down. And Temple and Tulane take the over. I mean, what else is there to say? Tulane is trying to make a statement, and we'll talk about it a little bit later in the outline. But
real quick, go ahead. Our friends over at the Boneyard podcast, I listened to about half of that today when I was at work, and dude, they were ecstatic about ECU finally turning it around. So, Anyway, shout out to friends of the podcast.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a fanatical fan group. You know, absolutely. They would come to Fort Bragg when I was in. Every once in a while, you'd run into the college students, man. They love their football. And I did some work on their campus when I was doing construction post Army. And man, they've got support.
Yeah, for sure.
And when there's a good team, boy, they really, you see a lot of Pirates flags come out in the Charlotte area too.
Yeah, they rally around their team, which is, you know, can't say that they're fair weather fans for sure. But moving into the top 10 this week, Joe, what's your breakdown on movers and shakers in the top 10?
I just noticed your hat. I got a compliment on that, Jumpmaster. That's actually kind of slick. Well, I got a firsthand witness of Oregon is the number one team in the country still. They stay at number one after coming into Ann Arbor and controlling the defending national champs for four quarters. Ducks 38, Wolverines 17. Oregon plays Maryland at home this weekend. At number two, we got the Bulldogs of Georgia. No change here as I had a typo. They stay at number two after a tough fought game where they pulled away in the second half against Florida, 34-20. The Bulldogs will be tested this week as they travel to Ole Miss. At number three, we got the Buckeyes of Ohio State jumping up one as the Buckeyes come out on top of a tough game in the noon spot, 20-13 over Penn State. They play Purdue in Columbus this week. At number four, we got the Miami Hurricanes who just keep on creeping up. I don't know how much higher they can go, but they bump up a spot as they absolutely handled Duke in the back half of that game, 53-31. Miami travels to Georgia Tech this week, who is another scrappy team you can't phone it in against. At number five, we got the Longhorns of Texas. They benefit from the carnage above as they bump up one spot, even though they didn't have a game last week. Texas will play Florida at home this week. And at number six, we got the Nittany Lions of Penn State, who are going to be nursing some bruises after that one. They came up short in a hard-fought game with the Buckeyes, who we just mentioned, 2013. Washington is coming to town to play Penn State this week, and that should be a good inaugural Happy Valley visit for them in the conference. At number seven, we got the Volunteers of Tennessee. The Volunteers got the job done with a really tough Kentucky Wildcats defense, and 28-18, Tennessee has Mississippi State coming to town on Saturday, so it should be kind of like a week off for them. At number eight, don't look now, but we have the undefeated Indiana Hoosiers bumping up five spots into the top 10 after absolutely abusing little brother Michigan State on their home field, 47-10 in East Lansing. Yikes. The Hoosiers play Michigan next week, so maybe I should not talk so much trash about what they did to Sparty because Michigan's got to go to Indiana. At number nine, we got BYU. No change here. The Cougars stay at number nine as they had their week off. They get back to it this Saturday as they travel to go play the Utes of Utah. And rounding out the top 10, we got Notre Dame, who bumped down two spots. The Irish actually lost a couple on their week off as they were leapfrogged by Indiana. Notre Dame plays the Florida State Seminoles on Saturday.
Oh, man, that's like a scrimmage, at least this season, the way Florida State is playing. Good grief.
I'll tell you what. Army fans need the Irish to take care of business until they get to Yankee Stadium. Yeah,
Dano is right. We do not need an upset, Florida State.
Yeah, the last thing that needs to happen is for Florida State to, like, rediscover their life.
Don't get cheeky now, Florida State. You've laid down for everybody else.
Yeah, don't start playing football today.
You can get a deep thigh bruise on Riley Leonard, but other than that, just quit.
I'll take a deep thigh bruise in 2 weeks on Riley Leonard.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, just get that thing real nice and sore for the Army game when it's cold.
For sure. All right. So top 25 losses for the year. We're at 48 and we're at week 11. So we got 5 more weeks. We're going to probably be tipping around 60, given the way that the top 25 is committing fratricide against itself every week. Notable losses this week, as mentioned, Penn State lost to Ohio State. University of South Carolina. That one, I don't think anybody saw coming. Beat Texas A&M 44-20. That literally, you know, I don't know if you saw the SEC shorts this week, but they showed like Texas A&M crawling up out of the basement. Well, they're right back down there, even if it is emotionally. Texas Tech worked over or won over Iowa State barely. They beat them 23-22. That was a great game, man. Iowa State is good. Texas Tech is surprisingly good playing, you know, against a decent team. Louisville bumped off Clemson. Good grief. Like, is there any surprise that Clemson is Clemsoning? Houston decided that they were going to make a statement in the Big 12 and took the previous ranked Kansas State 24-19. Yo, man, like, this was the biggest disappointment. No one. And the biggest disappointment of the night, but for me, was I've been kind of riding the pit train for a while, and they got smashed by SMU.
Oh.
It was bad, 48-25. And, you know, everybody was like, oh, you know, Pitt has come back before from games like this. And it's like, what game are you watching? Because SMU was not looking backwards at all.
SMU hit the hey, look at me button, because we all thought Pittsburgh was a good bordering great team.
Yeah, they ran them out of the stadium for sure. And hey, man, PJ Fleck and the Golden Gophers came in dressed for success with sweater vest and took out the 24-ranked Fighting Illini of Illinois.
Holy, that rhymed beautifully.
I know that's great alliteration, and that was not planned. So I apologize for the shenanigans there. And speaking of shenanigans, Joe, who is your Blue Falcon of the week?
You know, this one's maybe a stretch to some people, but I'm sure you're not shocked. We've been waiting on Clemson to Clemson all year, and they did not disappoint on Saturday. But my Blue Falcon of the week has to be a group, and it's got to be the Clemson defense. Going into Saturday against Louisville, and I'm talking to the defense, you controlled your own destiny and could have won out and made a trip to the playoffs, guaranteed. The blame probably should lie on Dabo Swinney, who doesn't believe in the transfer portal. Because as we know, victory has 1,000 fathers and defeat is an orphan, but it usually falls on the head coach. Your starting running back runs for 170 and 2 touchdowns. The offense hangs up 450 plus yards, but the defense couldn't stop anything on their home field in a place that's supposed to be very intimidating to play, Death Valley. Louisville did not mind their trip to Death Valley, mainly because their offense got to do pretty much whatever it wanted to. No one can blame the Tigers offense because they did what they were supposed to do. But when you're answering every six with a six before the offense can even get a Gatorade in them, then you end up getting beat soundly 33-21 on your home field. Now you need a bunch of magic to even get in the playoffs, which I don't think you're ready for anyways. So Clemson's defense, you didn't pull your weight. The offense did. And for that reason, you got to be the Blue Falcon of the week.
Yeah.
Probably more like Dabo, because he's not changing with the times.
Yeah, I mean, and he has the ability to, and that's a great discussion point when you really, really think about it, because I'm sure that Clemson has some dollars to throw around in the transfer portal if they really needed it.
5 years ago, he had all the swag, all the smoke, all the hype he wanted on him, and he could have probably dominated when all this stuff was starting to get rolling. And he stuck to his guns, and I honestly feel like Clemson in the top 10 are about to separate permanently. They're going to get left behind.
Yeah, and that's a really crazy thing to think about and talk about reload. Yeah, and talk about football now. Yeah, and talking about playoff opportunities. So that was one of the things I threw it out as a question to the Firsty Club, and we'll talk about it here openly. Is you know, what conference do you think is going to have multiple representatives in the 12-team playoff? Because I saw a graphic today that came out from the Bleacher Report, and they were talking about how, you know, what teams are going to be in. And of course, there's some shade thrown on the American, and the American is, you know, consistently, I won't say consistently, but right now is one of the better conferences. At least the games are exciting to watch. And, you know, Army, Tulane, and Navy, up until they stumbled the last couple of weeks, like, those were teams to watch. They were getting a lot of national attention. Army and Tulane still are, but like, what are your thoughts on, you know, who's going into the playoff and who's your sleeper playoff team, if there is one right now? And which conference do you think is going to slip more than one team in there, like that's outside of the conference championship or whatnot? So we'll go to Joe first and then over to Dan.
You know, I know that I'm the Big Ten guy, but if there was a stat that gave me even money or a prop that gave me even money to bet that the Big Ten gets more than one representative, I would be betting the house on it. I think Oregon and Ohio State, unless midseason implosions happen, are almost guaranteed locks to get in. And because I don't believe Ohio State loses that Michigan game this year. And possibly Penn State as well, along with the undefeated Hoosiers, if they went out. You know, if three of those teams went out, it could be three teams. I don't know how that works. I haven't really broken down the rules as to how many teams possibly could get in. But, I mean, if you got the undefeated Hoosiers and Ohio State and Oregon both went out, I don't know how many teams go. So right now, if everybody wins out, I believe that there are four teams in the Big Ten that could have a legitimate case. And maybe not all four at once, but you know, I believe more than one's getting in. But as far as sleeper teams, I'd love to see Army get in and play for the whole thing. But another team that is flying under the radar and looked pretty damn good on Saturday is the team we just talked about, the Southern Methodist University Mustangs.
Yeah.
They have a very manageable remaining schedule, Virginia Cal and Boston College this Saturday. If they win out, that would make them 11-1 on the season. I believe they're definitely going to go in that case. By the way, they handled what we all thought was a pretty darn good Pitt Panthers team and holding wins over Duke, TCU, Louisville, and their lone loss being to top 10 BYU team that they only lost by a field goal. I believe they're making a pretty good case so far for themselves to get in.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right now, if they went out, they control their destiny.
Yeah, for sure. Dano, what about you?
I've said a few times that I think Boise State is going to be the group of five representative and that they deserve to go. I could make an argument that you could take two group of five teams because there's only four power conferences and five power conference bids. So in my mind, take the best of the group of five champions, whichever that happens to be, plus whichever group of five team you want to do to be the group of five at large bid. That's just the structure. I mean, that's personally what I think. But what I think is going to happen is I think the SEC is going to put, you know, X plus one teams in there, and they're going to get, you know, like Tennessee with two losses or some crazy stuff. And that's going to drive me bananas. You know, you're going to wind up with Boise State or Army playing at Neyland Stadium against a two loss Tennessee team that dropped a game to Arkansas. I mean, are we 100% sure that Army would lose to Arkansas this year? We get Bryson Daly back healthy. I mean, let's play that game before we just give it to him, right?
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah, and that's one of my things is like I have a problem with that because like if you look at the construct when it was set up, it was Power Five champions, automatic bids, and then seven at large, and really you have eight at large bids because there's are we gonna for history's sake give the Pac-12 the two teams who's in the Pac-12 a freaking conference champion? Like no, that doesn't make sense, and we all know that like sports writers don't have the clearest set of glasses when they watch football games. I think they go in with predetermined things like everybody wants to see Oregon to win. If you watch the sports writers on, the ESPN, a lot of those guys are banking on the Ducks. And whether you like them or not, you guys know my thoughts on that. But the reality of it is like you hang your shingle early in the season because you're a sports writer and you don't watch college football for 16 weeks before the playoffs happen. You know what I mean? Like you got to do a little bit of analysis, folks. And that's a little bit frustrating to me. And like I said, I agree with Joe. I think, the Big Ten probably will sneak more than one team in because again, they don't have multiple lost teams, right? You're looking at a two loss Alabama. If Georgia slips up again or keeps letting people hang around and stay close, they could take another loss. So the SEC is no longer like the front runner of the conferences anymore because there's too much, internal cuts on their
way. They're out there ahead of everybody with nobody in sight. They may be towards the top tier, but there's a couple of different conferences that are keeping up with their quality of play from top to bottom, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, I think the Big Ten probably does has the best chance to send like two representatives, because everybody else, all the other, you know, power four conferences have teams with multiple losses, like more than two. So it's not fair to send somebody that has two losses when there's undefeated or one loss teams left in college football. And I got it. There's 136 FBS teams and you can only take 12. We get it. But let's take the best 12 teams. And also, we really know what it is. It's about money, right? So we want to send the teams into the playoffs whose fans are going to travel. Hey, I will tell you this. If you've never watched an Army traveling game, like Army fans show up. So like the right answer would be, if Army wins out, you have to put them in the playoff just for the simple fact that you're going to get eyeballs and cash. Right now, they won't do that. Or, you know, like Dan said, since there's not another conference champion, like, hey, maybe you take the top two teams out of the group of five. You know, because there's enough room now to spread it around and give other conferences their opportunity. But at the end of the day, it would be a shame for a guy like Austin Gente to keep playing the way that he's playing, win the Heisman Trophy, win a conference championship, and then his team not get into the playoff. Like, that would be a shame. That would be a travesty on college football.
There's no way that happens unless they fool around and lose to UNLV in the Mountain West Conference Championship.
Yeah.
I just don't think that there's any way that happens.
Yeah, well, and we would hope, but I think, you know, sports writers, again, have that inherent fear of like, hey, let's put a group of five team in because we saw what happened when we did it with Cincinnati a few years ago. And so I think, you know, there's some scar tissue there that people are not willing to get out of their own way on. But selfishly, you know, I would love to see like, you know, there's 12 teams, you know, give everybody a fair shot. Like you can put two group of five teams in there. What happens if Notre Dame runs the table? You know, not to say that we want them because they're an Army opponent, but if they finish out the rest of their season and they're, you know, 12 or 11-1, do they make it in?
Yes. You know? Short answer is yes. Talk they about fan base travels. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
And that's an institution. I mean,
yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you're always going to get touchdown Jesus on TV, you know, as often as possible. You know, even if you're not a fan of the team, that's what it ultimately boils down to, is like, how do we get to that point of making those decisions? And like, again, sports writers, like, I swear, I don't understand what their thought process is or who's greasing the skids to make things go smoothly for their respective teams. But there have been some god-awful decisions because, again, like, people are talking, well, what if, you know, Colorado shouldn't go to the 12-team playoff? If they win the Big 12 championship, why wouldn't they? You've already said, you know what I mean? You already said conference champions go, so why would you change it up just because y'all don't like Deion Sanders or what?
Yeah,
like,
no, that's it. That's the dirty little secret that nobody wants to say, is you're going to have those people, like Feinbaum was about Harbaugh. It just doesn't like them, you know, and there's going to be people that maybe they're not buying Deion's brand and the fact that he's so sure of himself. And you've heard Deion speak. He's not going to apologize to anybody. So I think with a guy like him, you've got to be you're prepared that you're going to piss some people off. And that's not going to change anything about the way he's doing things. And I honestly, I think great things are to come from Colorado.
Yeah, I think
he's going to do really, really well.
But at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, the opportunity. And there's, you know, we expanded the playoff, you know, college football expanded the playoff because they felt like there's a need to give more teams an opportunity. So if we had a 16 playoff or a 12 team playoff, you could have put Cincinnati in as well as a one or two loss Alabama a couple of years
ago. I mean, dude, when they said they wanted to give more teams an opportunity, the Black Knights were not one of those teams.
Oh, yeah, absolutely not. Absolutely not. And that's really what it is, you know. But speaking of opportunities, we have a guy that will give you the opportunity to refinance your home. So over to Dan for the next commercial.
Friends, Craig Oxane is the Vice President of Residential Lending for New American Funding in Chicago. He is a member of the West Point Class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. He is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. Man, you can hear that my voice is still raspy from screaming at those referees at the Air Force game. Craig is going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal he possibly can. And like, this mortgage process is confusing as all hell. Interest rates moving all over the place. Oh, by the way, the election moved the interest rates today, like half a point or something crazy like that. You know, and as you're trying to lock in a rate or decide not to lock in a rate, you would really like to talk to someone who is an expert in the field who actually cares about you. Not a call center, not a random big box bank or mindless website. And that's Craig, right? And this is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're helping you, trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig doesn't charge a lending fee for veterans. That's a huge savings. It's like $1,300. $1,300, you know, get that money. So Craig Oxhane, Vice President, Residential Lending at New American Funding. His link is on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com, scroll down to his little business card, click on it, you fill out a questionnaire. You'll be talking to him in a couple of hours, and he is working on merch for us. So find me at a tailgate and get some merch, probably Army Navy.
Perfect. Thanks, Dano. Hey, look, moving on to the games of the week. We got games on Tuesday again. So like, hey, after you finish voting, this is your voting plan. Go vote. Watch the Ask for Football Army football show and then check into the Tuesday night action. So you've got Tuesday night action going on. You've got Bowling Green at Central Michigan. That kicks at 7:30 on ESPN2. You got Miami of Ohio and Ball State on ESPN kicking at 8. You got football on Wednesday. More action carrying on Thursday, November the 7th. You got Florida Atlantic at East Carolina. For the Boneyard podcast fans and all those folks, I think that's going to be an interesting game to watch because one team is trending up, the other is trending down. I think East Carolina has got the edge on that one so far. You got App State at Coastal Carolina kicking off on Thursday as well. On Friday night, really the only matchup of note that stands out to me is Rice at Memphis, and that's an American contest. Moving on to Saturday. Saturday is going to be wild. So you've got Minnesota at Rutgers kicking at noon. That should be an interesting game. You know, P.J. Fleck is going to go down into the dirty jurors and try and smack around the Scarlet Knights. You've got Purdue at Ohio State. Like, the Spoiler Makers, like, they're not good enough to be the Spoiler Makers this year. I mean, the only thing that's spoiled is their season at this point. You've got Florida taking on Texas at noon on ESPN. You've got Miami at Georgia Tech. I would watch that game because if Miami sleepwalks through the first half, they may be down a score or two against Georgia Tech. They're a pretty tough team this season. Syracuse at Boston College, that might be an interesting game. It's on the CW. Just the channel makes it interesting. But that'll be a good game to watch. West Virginia at Cincinnati, so-so matchup. You've got Navy at USF. Again, that's going to be interesting because Navy has to, you know, put something together because they've had back-to-back slip-ups. So we'll see what they can do against the Bulls.
Is it just that there's enough tape out on that offense now? Because every time he threw downfield, it looked like Rice had a guy there. Like they knew it was coming.
Well, the reality of it is like, hey, man, the wing T is like 50 years old. It's not like it's, you know what I mean? It's not like it's some revolutionary new offense. I mean, they've added some new wrinkles. But again, at the end of the day, you know, what I saw in that game was a lot of swing passes to the fullbacks that weren't getting yardage. Because they pretty much scoped them out. And then, of course, as you said, when they tried to go downfield, they were covered fairly well. So it may have been athletic advantage as well. Nobody said Rice's secondary was bad. It's just that their offense wasn't producing. So, I mean, that's a possibility as well, particularly when you're looking, you know, skill for skill matchups in the secondary. Moving on, you got the 3:30 kick. So this is a note for all you Army fans. Like, normally Army kicks at noon. They kick at 3:30 on ESPN2. And I'm going to say that again, 3:30 on ESPN2. Number 18, Army takes on University of North Texas Mean Green. That's going to be a good game. Army actually does have the edge in the series. So Army has won. They're 5-2 against the Mean Green. But we'll preview that tomorrow on the Ask for Football show. But that North Texas offense is pretty potent, and I think, you know, the team with the most explosive plays in that game is probably going to win it, and I will put a pin on that and move on to the next matchup, which is Iowa State at Kansas. So Iowa State, you know, they're having a decent year this year in the Big 12, but they got to get past Kansas. They got past K-State, and so now they've just got to finish wrapping up the rest of their season if they can. You got Clemson at Virginia Tech. Like, if they were playing at Clemson, I would say that that's a dangerous place to play. But seeing what happened to him with Louisville, I mean, I don't think it matters. I think, you know, if your fans travel, you've got just as good a chance as you got anywhere else. That one kicks at 3:30 on ESPN. Hey, folks, number 2, Georgia versus number 16, Ole Miss. That is going to be a quarterback duel. Whichever quarterback plays better in that game is going to win it because Jackson Dart is throwing darts. Like, I don't know if you watched that Ole Miss game, but that dude,
such a great quarterback name.
He was legit. So this is one of those, like, if you want to watch a good, strategy battle between key players. I think it'll be really good one to watch in that one. You got Michigan at Indiana. That's 3:30 on CBS and Paramount Plus. Colorado and Texas Tech. Colorado coming off a bye week, and Texas Tech is coming off a pretty big win. That should be a good contest as well. I mean, again, it's the we're in the latter half of the latter third of the season. So like now, these every game matters. Like there's no longer gimmies, and with the way that the schedules are going, there's not very many cupcake games either. So you have got to win. You got to win out. And that's basically it for the rest of the season. Got Temple and Tulane kicking at 4. Got South Carolina at Vanderbilt. That actually may turn out to be a better game, seeing that, you know, what South Carolina did this week too. So who knows? See if they can do it 2 weeks in a row. You've got Maryland at number one, Oregon. That's going to be on the Big Ten Network. That's behind the paywall. That's not surprising for that one. Florida State at Notre Dame. That's going to be on NBC and Peacock. And then this one quietly snuck up. And it's going to be a pretty doggone good matchup because both of these teams are kind of having, you know, a 10-2 finish for Alabama would be considered a mediocre season on a regular year. But like the way that they're playing right now, LSU may sneak in and get them. So that should be an interesting game to watch. Washington gets introduced to Penn State at Happy Valley. That's going to probably be a whiteout game, and that's going to suck for them. Virginia at Pitt. We'll see if Pitt can bounce back after that heartbreaking loss. You've got Nevada at Boise State. Hey, if Austin Gente doesn't get like 200 yards rushing in that game, I'll be concerned. And then the nightcap is Fresno State at Air Force. That's 9:45 p.m. at FS1. You got BYU in Utah. That's at 10:15, which is even later. And then, you know, what this used to be.
This is why there's no longer such a thing as the Pac-12.
Yeah, and the last remnants of the Pac-12 after dark is Washington State at Utah. That kicks at 10:30 on the CW for those of you guys that literally want to stay up until 1 o'clock in the morning to watch a football contest. Personally, I do not, and that has zero playoff implications, so I really don't care. All right, moving on to our weekly locks.
Weekly locks.
Dano, what you got?
I went 2-1 this past week, and I was really happy with that. But what in the hell is going on with Tulsa? Just getting skull dragged by freaking UAB. I mean, what? So I took Tulane to cover over Charlotte. They did that easily. Vandy beat Auburn outright. I don't think anybody was really shocked by that except sports writers around the country. But, dude, Tulsa just got smoked, and that was a week after they looked better. So that I don't understand at all. But anyway, this week, give me ECU -7.5 at home versus Florida Atlantic. I just think that Florida Atlantic team is not good. I will take Navy at South Florida under 57. Bulls are getting 3.5 points, and I think they might win. But I think that under is probably a safer bet because I just – That Navy offense, whatever's going on with it, it ain't been good in 2 weeks. Yeah. And finally, South Carolina at Vandy +3.5. Vandy getting points, man. I'll take it. Line open at 1.5. At 3.5, I think you're much better off.
Yeah, for sure. Joe, what about you?
Yeah, I went 2-2 last week. Vandy won the game outright, like Dano said. We both had Vandy last week. We both got Vandy this week. And North Carolina handled Florida State. Pittsburgh, that was a surprising score. And, you know, SMU, you live and you learn. I won't bet against them again. But this week I got 4 picks. Pick number one is going to be Syracuse +2 at Boston College. This may seem like a risky pick with Syracuse going on the road to play a scrappy Boston College team. But Syracuse is quietly 6-2. Kyle McCord had one bad game, and now he's slinging the football all over the place. They got a really good running back who's going to the league in LaQuint Allen. And they just beat a very game Virginia Tech Hokies team. And if you're giving me points with them, I feel comfortable picking them. Then I'm taking UConn -6.5 at UA Bad.
There you go. give it to me.
I don't
me.
Know how bad Tulsa is, but up until last Saturday, I thought UAB could quite possibly be the worst team in UAB in the FBS. UConn is 6-3. They've beaten better quality teams by more than this. So give me UConn giving under a touchdown all day against this team. I just think UConn's better in every facet, and they'll handle it. Pick three is the Iowa State Cyclones -3 at a 1-7 Kansas Jayhawks. The Cyclones let one slip away. against Texas Tech, and I feel like they'll be out for blood as they really need to go undefeated to have a case to go anywhere postseason. Kansas is about to get the receipt for Texas Tech, and I believe the Cyclones win convincingly. And pick four, right on the boat with Dano. I'm taking Vandy +3.5 against South Carolina. Look, I'll be the first one to tell you the South Carolina Gamecocks are a tough team, and you better not phone it in when lining up with them, or you're going to pay a price like Texas A&M did. However, if Vanderbilt can keep the game within three against Texas at home, then I believe they can do the same with South Carolina. I think this will be the sleeper game of the week. If you haven't watched the Gamecocks or the Commodores this games yet this season, they're both pretty entertaining teams. I think South Carolina is capable of pulling the upset, but Vandy's super tough at home. And if they do lose, I think it's only by a field goal. So give me Vandy +3.5.
All right. Sounds good.
You're right about that being one of the best games of the week, just objectively.
South Carolina's right. Fun to watch this year.
Yeah, they're good. They're playing much better ball. I think it gets to a point where a team only can lose so much before they just start having fun. And when they start having fun, that's when they're, you know what I mean? Like you're either winning and dominating, and then you're having fun because you're blowing everybody out. Or it's just like, you know what? Hey, guys, what else we got to lose? Let's just play some ball.
Case in point, when Michigan lost to App State and then got blown out by Oregon the week after, they won 10 straight and beat Tim Tebow, Percy Harvin, and Florida at the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think
they finally just let it hang out there and played comfortable and, beat Heisman and a couple of – he had two NFL receivers he was throwing to, and they go out there and win in a season where they lost to App State. So,
yeah, it's quite possible. It's just the mentality. Once that mentality shifts and you're having fun, I think it's good either way. So I went 1-2 last week. Like I said, I took Jackson State to cover 1.5 against Liberty in a close game. The Flames lost again because of the similar style. I think Jackson State was a better of the two teams. My second pick was Tulane and Charlotte to hit over 55. What the hell, man? That was whatever. It just happened the way that it happened. And then Duke lost by 22 to Miami. So it was so close, but so far away. But again, that was one of those outstanding performances from Cam Ward. Like the dude woke up and was slinging it all over the place. And that guy's legit good, man. Like if he's not on your Heisman short list, I think there's something wrong with you as a football fan, because he's good. The guy's solid. This week, I said take Memphis to cover 10.5 against Rice. Rice had a good showing against Navy, but I think Memphis is the better of the two teams. It'll be a closer game than 10.5, maybe, but I could see Memphis jumping out early or dinging up EJ Warner, and he has a sit for a little bit. And I think he may have had a bad shoulder. I don't know if they mentioned that or not, but I know that he was not doing well earlier in the season because of an injury. Hopefully he doesn't aggravate it early in that game. This week, I'm going to roll with PJ Fleck and the Golden Gophers. They have 4.5 against Rutgers. I think that's a safe bet.
Great call. I love it. I almost picked them. They're on a heater.
Yeah, I think PJ Fleck is like trying to turn it around. I think they'll get to a bowl game. They'll probably be like 7-4 or 7-5.
Rutgers offense sucks.
That too.
So bad, dude.
Fair point. And then take the under of 52.5 for Florida and Texas. And the reason why I say that is Florida is trending upwards, and Texas offense has not looked that good since Quinn Ewers came back from that injury. Like something is not clicking there. And I don't know if it's his timing or if it's just that the teams are playing them better. But for the fact of it, the matter was like Texas came out looking like a world beater, and now they just look like a decent college football team. But they're not as
playing to keep his job rather than playing comfortably, like you just said.
Yeah, because they are the offense is nowhere near as explosive. And I think, in all their close games and their losses, Quinn Ewers has thrown at least an interception and fumbled once. And so I know that that's probably sitting in the back of his mind. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Moving on, I'm going to cover down for Omar since he is not here to defend himself. He was 0-3 on his picks, but we will highlight. We really wanted to highlight his smoking hot take on the UMass game. It worked for about a quarter, and then it kind of fell apart on him. He just wanted to let everybody know that we did not ban him from the show because of that pick. He's just not available this week, but we don't want to kick him any further because he's down. But we'll get him back on as soon as possible. And hey. We're at the end of the show, folks. Like, that's it. It went by fast, just like week 11. We do have a new sponsor here at As for Football. We're trying something new to capitalize on the growth that we've had on the website all this season. So we're having a web-only sponsor. You will see that on the website if you go now. So if you want to check it out, you can. We're going to formally announce who it is.
We'll talk about that tomorrow.
Yeah, and a little bit more background tomorrow on the Army Football Show. But in the meantime, you can always check out the website until then. So for the team here at the College Football Roundtable, you've got Rob the Angry Colonel calling out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. Got Dano Icabesa coming out of Coastal Connecticut, and Trigger Joe from the home of the Big House. Hey, we will see you guys tomorrow night, for those of you guys that are joining us, at least behind the paywall, for the As for Football Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy. Thanks for joining us on the As for Football College Football Roundtable. Special thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. If you're buying or selling, reach out to Jocelyn for expert service. If you enjoy the show, please consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/asforfootball. Your support will help keep the lights on and bring in more great content. Plus, you'll get access to exclusive perks and behind-the-scenes extra. Thanks for being a part of the As for Football community. Go Army, beat Navy, and we'll catch you guys next week.